Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
After I had written this talk, I recently came upon a YouTube video. Is anybody familiar with Dan Siegel? He's written a number of books bringing together a variety of things in the world of mindfulness. He's an MD. And this was a presentation that he did. And I only listened to maybe 30, 40 minutes of it. But he was talking about the difference between empathy and compassion. And, you know, I think generally most of us think that the word, the words and the ideas are interchangeable, that empathy means compassion and compassion means empathy. And he draws a distinction between the two. The way he describes empathy is that we take in somebody else's pain. We feel somebody else's pain. And compassion is we feel somebody's pain, but because we feel somebody's pain, we act. And apparently there's a lot of research to show that the physiological response to each type of tending is different, and that empathy actually produces a lot of negative things that take place in the body, including emotion, and compassion does exactly the opposite. His explanation for this is that empathy is all about taking in. For the most part, there is no coming back out of ourselves to take care of it, whereas compassion is not the same. Compassion is we feel the pain of another, but then we are compelled to act. So some of the talk today is related to compassion, and so I thought I'd throw that idea out for your consideration. So several years ago, I attended a retreat at a place called Innisfada, which is a Catholic retreat house, and it's located in Manhasset, New York. And during one of the rest breaks between the periods of sitting, I went for a walk to explore the grounds. And during the walk, a rainfall began. And while I was walking down sort of a secluded path, I encountered a sculpture of Christ's face at the time of his crucifixion. And as I approached this to get a closer look, at that very same time, a raindrop fell just below Christ's left eye and ran down his cheek, leaving a trail. And to me, it looked like a tear. And as I stood there, the image seemed, for a moment anyway, to come to life. And at first, I imagined that the tear was an expression of the physical pain of Christ, or the pain that he would be in, or the betrayal he was suffering. And then I thought, no, that the tear was actually more likely to be an expression of his compassion for the suffering of his tormentors. The words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," came to mind. Mother Teresa said, "If we really want love, we must learn how to forgive." So I saw this experience as a metaphor for the unconditional love that arises when our attachment to ourself dissolves and we realize the divine. And this divinity is not the property of any particular religion. It's universal and is expressed in all of the mystical traditions. By mystical tradition, I mean the branch of each religion that emphasizes direct experience as opposed to dogma. Rumi wrote, "What is done, O Muslims, for I do not recognize myself. I am neither Christian, nor Jew, nor Muslim. I am not the East, nor the West, for I belong to the soul of the Beloved." Zen Master Hui Neng said, "Take the mask off, and what do you see now?" What is the mask to which he is referring? It is the self, the amalgam of our thoughts, ideas, and experience. Taking the mask off is the experience of no self. Who we are exists only in our minds. And making reference to last week's talk, not only in our minds, but the stories we tell ourselves about who we are. When the mind becomes still in meditation, eventually this self will drop away. When the self drops away, there is no longer a self and an other. There is no longer a sense of separation. There is just what we refer to as oneness. We become intimate with the universe. In fact, even the we and the universe drops away. When this experience occurs, conventional knowing stops. And when knowing stops, there are no boundaries. We fall in love with everything. We have an intimate relationship with everything. In Dewdrops on a Lotus Leaf, Ryokan writes, "The flower invites the butterfly with no self. The butterfly visits the flower with no self. The flower opens, the butterfly comes. The butterfly comes, the flower opens. I don't know others. Others don't know me. By not knowing, we follow nature's course." I think that poem is a lovely expression of what happens when the self or self-consciousness drops away and we just simply act. This intimacy, the deep appreciation for the interconnectedness of all things, is what we refer to in Zen as wisdom. But in our tradition, we don't stop there. Like Christ, we must express this wisdom in the everyday world, which is what I think Dan Siegel refers to as compassion. It is not enough to sit on a mountaintop, in a cave, or in a monastery, exuding unconditional love for everyone. Wisdom must be put into action. There is an old existential saying that the only truth is in action. Dogen wrote, "Those who see worldly life as an obstacle to the way don't see the way in everyday actions. They have not yet discovered that there are no everyday actions outside the way." The activity of wisdom in everyday life, now let me stress that in light of what I told you about Dan Siegel. The activity of wisdom in everyday life is called compassion. Because we are deeply connected to everyone and everything, we really have no choice but to act. As Bernie Glassman often says, when you burn your left hand on the hot stove, the other hand doesn't think about whether or not to respond or not. It doesn't castigate the other hand for getting burned. It just acts. There's no separation, just the functioning of this one body. There is just an immediate expression of unconditional love and attention. When Christ was being crucified, he was not perceiving the crucifiers as other. When he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," he was speaking from the point of view of the one body, responding to them with compassion and forgiveness. And forgiveness is something that we extend out. Compassion and forgiveness with unconditional love. This was wisdom being lived out in the world. No dogma can teach this. It must arrive from direct experience. And this direct experience is not just the province of Zen. It can be found in all of the mystical traditions throughout the world. Just one last note. Compassion doesn't mean that we always accept the actions of somebody. This always comes up when we talk about unconditional love and compassion. And people will say, what a horrible person this person was. And so being compassionate or unconditional love doesn't mean that we have to accept the evil that somebody has perpetrated. They're separate in the sense of language. So thank you.